Hey there, listeners. It's Shayna Roth. As many of you probably know, I was at the Mackinac Island Policy Conference this past week, and I got to speak to some really exciting people. And what we wanted to do was to bring to you all of those interviews. And that's what this extra special bonus episode is going to be. Okay, next up, we have my chat with Michigan Speaker of the House, Joe Tate. So, Speaker Tate, earlier this month, a group of protesters laid down outside of your office at the state capitol. They were protesting legislation to change the state's no-fault laws. You want to hold off on those bills until the budget is done. What is the plan there with changes to no-fault? Where are we at with no-fault?
I think with what you're saying, you know, right now, and I was here in 2019. Actually, we were out on the porch when we were making this announcement for auto no-fault, and that was 40 years in the making. I think no policy is perfect, and that's certainly the case with auto no-fault reform, which is incredibly complex at the end of the day. I think for me, and working with my colleagues, is just figuring out what is going to be the next step and the right next step. And as we know, and as we've been seeing, even over the past couple of years, with, you know, cost of living, rising costs, you know, we've been trying to work to make sure that we're continuing to put money back in people's pockets, in terms of that and cost of living. So for me, really want to be able to focus, you know, where we make these changes. We want to ensure that we're not making it cost prohibitive when it comes to auto insurance rates, because that's an important piece, you know, because we don't want to, you know, in particular in Detroit, you know, there are families that make decisions where they're going to pay their auto insurance or their utilities. And we want to reduce that choice in terms of that. So that's what we're looking at. And I think there are several different paths, but we want to make sure that we're focused on the right one.
And right now the legislature is really hyper-focused on the budget. Are there any sticking points that are holding up the process?
No, the great part about it is, you know, since being in this role for the past year and a half, we do have one budget under our belt. And the great part about it is, you know, not only House Democrats, but Senate Democrats and the governor as well, too. Our values are aligned in terms of how we want to support the state moving forward. So I think you're going to see, as we go into the negotiation process, I think that's going to be something that won't be as much of an issue. I mean, we're going to have our points of difference. We always do. But I think you'll see, you know, trying to work off a similar timeline from last year in terms of getting the budget done, but feel really good about where we're at right now.
What in the budget that you're looking at is like a real important chunk for you? What are you really hoping to get passed?
So in one piece, something that my colleague, Representative Regina Weiss, had worked on last year around the budget is the Opportunity Index Fund in the school aid budget. So essentially putting more dollars into areas where students go to school, in those areas that historically have been disinvested. So we've almost gotten to about $1 billion there. I think continuing to move the needle up, especially areas of concentrated poverty, to make sure that there are resources in those schools. So I think maintaining that, and then also I would very much like to grow that as well too. A couple other things that we're looking at that we've kind of baked into the House passed budget. One is the Public Safety Trust Fund. So we moved legislation out of the House around that. So a dedicated fund to those areas. When you look at historically high crime, you know, where are we sending those resources to those local first responders for additional support? And then the Revenue Sharing Trust Fund as well, too, which is another area we talk a lot about how we're supporting our locals. So that's another place that I think I would like to see some movement and have that be in the final product of the budget.
You called 2023 the most productive year ever, and now we are in 2024. We're kind of hitting the halfway mark. Do you think this has been a productive year so far?
Yes. For us, You know, up to this point, so for the past year and a half, you know, we have sent about 370 pieces of legislation to the governor's desk. So you look at the volume for the past year and a half, it has been significant. We were in a place where we were 54-54, but we still were able and managed to get things done, worked in a bipartisan fashion around that. So I think it is certainly something that's productive. And I think what you've seen, the legislation that we passed last year that actually went into effect, such as, you know, common sense gun violence reduction, and you look at expansion of EITC, you know, all of that hit in February as well, too. So actually, we're able to see that implementation begin to take place in that work. So I think it's been a productive year. And once we get the budget done, I think, you know, being able to tell that story as well in terms of the work that we've done, I think it's been incredibly productive.
Yeah, and we've only got about 2 months before summer recess, and Democrats have their trifecta majority. Aside from finishing the budget, what are your priorities before everybody, you know, takes off and runs for the hills for the summer to campaign for the most part?
You know, we're still looking at ways to lower costs for Michigan residents. I mean, we know that there continues to be a need. I think Democrats have been leading on that and hearing Michigan residents around that. But we know that, you know, we can do more things around that as well. At the beginning of the year, I talked a lot about, you know, seeing what opportunities there are around reducing prescription drug costs. I think so that's one area that we still want to take a look at as well. You know, economic development is always, you know, there as well, because we've been working on it again for since the beginning of this legislative session. So seeing what comes out of ongoing conversations there too. But top of mind, first and foremost, is going to be getting a budget done for Michigan.
Talk to me more about that economic development package. What is in there, and what do you feel is really going to be the most beneficial for Michiganders if it passes?
So I think there are different pieces that we've been working on for the entire legislative session. You know, that the House moved an R&D package last year, as well as a Renaissance Zone reform, which we got to the governor's desk just recently, which is going to be a huge and added tool, and actually is going to be very helpful to the Detroit Medical Center as well too. So ongoing, you know, we're looking at what we've done at the beginning of last year. I know there are a lot of conversations around reforming a SOAR. There's a payroll tax package as well too that we're looking at. Also looking at, you know, how are we, you know, working with other issues that align with economic development that are complementary to it. So such as housing, how can we create more investments? How can we work on policy that creates and spurs more housing unit development across the state? So that's something that we're looking at. You know, transit has been in the conversation as well too, because that is very complementary to economic development as well. So it's all kind of an ongoing conversation that we've had since January of 2022, and it's been exciting. So it's just a continuation of that conversation.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the upcoming election. How confident are you feeling about Democrats holding on to that 56-54 majority right now?
Very. I think we've been incredibly productive. And in terms of, and that tells a story. You know, we're all of us, all 110 of us, have to go out, and we have our job interviews coming up in both August and November. But House Democrats have been focused on putting people first. We've been focused on getting to yeses in terms of legislation to support. You know, unfortunately, you know, our colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been saying no to a lot of things. And that's not what Michiganders want. They want to find solutions, and they want opportunities to be created. They want bipartisanship. They want that work to move the state forward. So we feel really good, and we are building towards victory, as we should. And we're going to tell our story as we go into November, but I feel very confident about where we're at.
I'm curious. I know you've had hundreds of bills go to the governor's desk. Has there been any room for bipartisanship in the House and in the Senate? And talk to us more about how Republicans and Democrats have been able to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. So the majority of our bills that we move are, you know, almost two-thirds of them are bipartisan. And that's something that, you know, you don't always hear. You hear more about the policy disagreements that we have, you know, and that's natural there. But, you know, when you look at some of the work that we've been able to do, the majority of it is bipartisan. But some of the big areas around, you know, you name it, you know, whether it's, you know, support for reproductive health, you know, those can be challenges, so on and so forth. That's what we see. But the majority of the work that we do is bipartisan and in nature. And that's something that I really want to continue to focus on and work on, because I think that's where the best policies come from, when they're bipartisan in nature. But there is more room to grow there.
President Biden has brought up some mixed feelings among Democrats. I'm curious, I know we're constantly hearing about an enthusiasm gap with President Biden. Do you think he's going to be helpful or harmful for Democrats this year, particularly in those down ticket races?
I think he will be helpful. I think what the president has done, I think he will go down in history as one of the most effective presidents that we've had in this nation. I think that's going to be, you know, something that we will see. I think that's what historians will write about. But I think what we're seeing as well, and as we are as we're racing towards November, you know, look at the president, his presence in the state of Michigan. You know, he was just at the Freedom Fund dinner, the NAACP Freedom Fund dinner in Detroit. The vice president has spent time here as well, and numerous leaders in the Biden administration has also spent time here. You know, he has three offices, his campaign site, three offices alone in Detroit, and want to do that outreach to tell their story and what the president has done. So I think that's going to be positive. I think also for us, you're going to see some reverse coattails as well too. So those that are trusted, you know, elected officials, state representatives in several of the districts that we are looking to hang on to and to win, you know, those trusted resources and people are there. So I think that's going to help there. So I think that partnership is going to be strong, and I'm really excited, I think, about what the president will be able to do in Michigan.
Finally, how are you enjoying being Speaker of the House?
It's been good. You know, I think it has been everything that I heard about and more, just being in this role. But, you know, looking, you know, first and foremost, I'm just incredibly proud of my caucus and the House Democrats and the staff around, because we've been doing a lot of good work putting people first. At the end of the day, that's been our focus, and we've been successful, and that's something that we can be proud of. So I'm really proud of that, and that makes the role exciting, because we're actually getting things done for our constituents.
Speaker Joe Tate, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow, and the beautiful Olivia Kasman.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this show and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell your friends how much you've learned from Mishmash, and please send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.